Mesdames, Messieurs, chers collègues, chers amis, je voudrais remercier les organisateurs de m'avoir invité. C'est un très grand plaisir de pouvoir partager avec vous quelques idées sur l'avenir du Québec. The marriage between English and French Canada was occasioned by neither romance nor convenience. Like other intractable conflicts, it began as a shotgun wedding, a forcible union resulting from a war of conquest. The acrimonious relationship that followed is testimony that marriage is a war in which you sleep with the enemy. A virtue of finding that special person that we can annoy for the rest of our life is that we are less inclined to fight with strangers. In any intimate cohabitation, amidst the daily routine of sharing burdens and negotiating personal boundaries, even small differences can assume enormous dimensions. "I can't stand his snoring," she says. "I hate the way he brushes her teeth," she says. With the passage of time, however, togetherness and separateness become inextricable. For better or worse, each partner profoundly shapes the self-definition of the other. At some point, resentment is transformed into resignation. A shared past and plentiful progeny make outright divorce impossible. Thus it is that Canada's unity can be reconciled with Quebec's solitude. The relationship has matured considerably since the Quiet Revolution. Today, maître chez nous is not an aspiration, it is a fait accompli. Separatism is no longer the dominating passion of political life. Even if the Orange Revolution is dismissed as a passing phase in federal politics, it cannot be disregarded that provincially, the highly popular Coalition Avenir Québec has pledged to put an end to the sovereignty debate for at least a decade. This does not mean that Quebec nationalism is a spent force. There is still much agitation if the Montreal Canadiens coach is not bilingual. The team's appalling performance is less important. But after 50 years of far-reaching progress in the struggle for recognition and self-rule, the old quarrels over la question nationale appear increasingly futile and unnecessarily divisive. This post-separatist sensibility arguably reflects the self-confidence of a people that finally feel as maître chez soi. In the horizon of the foreseeable future, the Québécois seem resigned at least to a marriage of convenience with the rest of Canada. By contrast, in Anglophone Canada, amidst the ruins of the Laurentian consensus, a new quarrelsome politics of identity has emerged. Flanagan points out that in the 2011 federal elections, the Francophone nationalists were replaced with the Ontario ethnics as the third pillar of a conservative majority. Quebec is no longer indispensable. Robertson Davies famously said that while you love or hate some countries, Canada is a country you worry about. So, which is the greater source of anxiety today? Francophone solitude or Anglophone nationalism in the rest of Canada? Consider a metaphorical self-definition based on wildlife. It is high time, Senator Nicole Eaton recently said in the Senate, that the beaver step aside as a Canadian emblem in favor of the stately polar bear. Affirming the new conservative ethos, she berated the once venerable beaver as a dentally defective rat. Of course, a liberal senator would have properly referred to a dentally different rodent. But political correctness is no longer a hindrance in the new Canada. Let the mighty polar bear savage the pathetic beaver. After all, who gives a damn? Why allow self-righteous, feeble self-righteousness stand in the way of robust nationalism? It seems that today, the need for vigorous self-affirmation has migrated from Quebec to the rest of Canada. In the search for enemies in this Manichaean worldview, hijab-clad women and Francophone bureaucrats figure prominently. Mordecai Richler once remarked that Canada is not so much a country as a holding tank filled with the disgruntled progeny of defeated peoples. Perhaps resurgent nationalism is overcompensation for a culture of pity that celebrates the enshrining of grievances. But it is tantamount to liberation from the narcissism of victimhood to the nirvana of belligerent insularity. In this light, wither the shared future of Canadians. I came to this country in my childhood, fleeing religious persecution in Iran. I adapted from being the Baha'i heretic among my Tehran schoolmates to being the Muslim terrorist in my Toronto schoolyard. The anguish of exile creates a deep longing to return to an imaginary place. It is really a state of mind that by force of circumstance leaves no choice but to transcend the deceptive comfort of parochial loyalties. The ordeal of terminal separation, of being forever déraciné, becomes an odyssey of perpetual wandering among multiple identities that gradually merge in a singular search for meaning. The journey leads to the realization, in the words of Theodore Adorno, that it is part of morality not to be at home in one's home. By any measure, Canada is an unusually blessed country. Our celebrated cosmopolitan ethos, our mature post-national identity, however, has to be reconciled with a self-indulgent culture of consumerism that is at variance with a meaningful sense of community upon which our well-being ultimately depends. The default mode is either moral narcissism or a misguided nativism, none of which is compatible with genuine dialogue and empathy. Eric Fromm wrote perceptively that modern society is well-fed, well-clad, satisfied sexually, yet without self, without any except the most superficial contact among fellow human beings. The metaphor of marriage, the union of self and other, he explained, has been reduced to finding a refuge from an otherwise unbearable sense of aloneness, such that egoism is mistaken for love and intimacy. Beyond the triumph of a reluctant union, pondering the Quebec question for the next generation, and in turn defining Canada, may require a search beyond the narrow confines of policy and institutions. The future challenge is not about renegotiating modes of autonomy or reaffirming abstract commitments to cultural pluralism. Having attained a high degree of freedom and prosperity, the next frontier of our national evolution will be the politics of meaning, the politics of transcendence. It calls for awakening a deeper sense of belonging. It calls for forging an identity beyond the corrosive distortions of both avatism and nihilism. With the maturation of our self-consciousness in this century, perhaps Canada's historical contribution to the world will be pioneering a Zen nationalism with a corresponding new motto on our national coat of arms. To be as one, there must be two. Merci beaucoup.